Tennessee. And it was put up, this sign was put up in under the ministry of Ed Parton. The Tabernacle only had three preachers in its whole years. Kenneth Hicks come out of the Carolinas, came over that mountain, started that church in a little mission house. Right there in a little old mission in a little corner. Tore it down, built a church building there. And then he had a heart attack. He went home one day after service and had a heart attack. So they fasted and prayed and sought the Lord and came to the place that they called Ed Parton down there. He's from up there in the Partons. He's in the lineage of the Partons. And my niece is a Parton. She married Coy Parton. And it's Parton's Lodge is right there behind Dollywood. And don't you think they don't condone it? Just you might as well get I guarantee you. Dolly can't get away from it. I saw Dolly Parton as a little girl in the Bible Baptist Church in Herman, Tennessee, right outside of where Billy Kelly was born. Saw Dolly Parton sitting on a piano stool. Her daddy brought her down there, and she's singing as a little girl on a piano stool. Dolly knows. So did Elvis. They're the 60s crowd. I'm the 60s crowd. Anyway, Brother Ed Parton put on one side of the doors as you come in, enter to worship God. Put it on that side. And then after you got done worshiping, there was a sign on this side, go out and witness about God. You go and witness. You come to worship. You come into the house of God to worship. You ain't worthy of it. There ain't nothing good about you. Come in here to worship. So, see, that's what the devil wants. He wants worship. And then that angel over in Revelation, when he talked about all the things there, and he said, worship God. Worship God. And if I get right there, I'll preach a little while. That ain't what I'm going to do the same way a while ago this morning. I got so much things I want to say, but I'll let that little boy that come by here a while ago, and he asked, was that a violence? Violence. Are you going to play the violence? So Luke chapter 3, all right? Luke chapter 3. I want to read there in verse 10 through 14. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto him, exact no more than that which is appointed. That's taxes. And the soldiers likewise, and if you want one, for I might not get back to it, on the people. In verse 10, the people, that's welfare. Give your coats and your meat. That's trying to help these people that don't have a place to stay and they don't have no clothes and they don't have no place of shelter, and that America's the rich nation and they look to us for help. They look to us. We got a Statue of Liberty here. Bring them in. Come into our country. Why? God bless you. Then you get the kids say, God bless America. Listen, kids, God can't bless this ungodly bunch. There ain't no way he can bless America. And revival don't come to a nation. Revival comes to the church. And there's not one time in that Bible that it says revive in the New Testament. The word for revival in the New Testament is repent. Repent. Turn. Turn. Repent. That's talking to the church. Now I can take the seven churches of Asia and go to those seven churches and talk to them. Everywhere in there, they talk about repent. There's only two churches that he didn't tell repent. That was Philadelphia and Smyrna. And Smyrna was the martyr church. They died for the faith, kids. It ain't a social issue. It ain't a game-playing thing. It's not an educational institution. It's an indoctrination. And when you hold to the faith, oh brother, I said when you hold to the faith, you're going to be persecuted. They were in the early church, so why in the world don't you gird up the loins of your mind and say, boy, did you hear that preacher? And sort of put down an old-time Holy Ghost, God-filled preacher that preaches those words, and your kids will lose respect for the man of God. Quit playing games. It's dangerous. And I'm going to say that, what shall we do? Verse 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto him, do violence to no man. Neither accuse any falsely. And be content with your wages. I'm going to try my best to get back to that, but I'm going to run somewhere else, and that could be dangerous or distracting. I want to preach a watch night service message. See how long I'm going to be? What shall we do in 22? What shall we do? Is that not the question that burdens your heart? Is that not what goes on in your mind? What shall I do? What shall I do? What do I need to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What shall we do in 22? The word perplexity means over there in Luke, that is when you don't know what to do. When the way is lost and there's perplexity. That's Luke 21. Perplexity, distress of nations. Jesus is trying to tell them. He's trying to tell. And listen, don't you think you have any excuse? You don't have any excuse. Well, if I was there with Jesus, then I'd probably heard what he had to say about it, and I'd listen to Jesus. You have a more sure word of prophecy. You are without excuse. You have the Bible. And the word of God, which is this, became flesh. But the word of God is the Holy Ghost inspired word spoken by God with his thoughts upon black and white print. This is the word of God. It's not a literature piece. It's not some kind of book that you can play as something that you read. This is the word of God. It's Jesus speaking to you. Oh, if I could listen. You better listen. This is Jesus speaking to you. See, I'm gonna run a place right here. That's what gets me making so long. I preach in a storefront church. And I'm preaching that night, and there come a bunch of them in there, earrings down here, tattoos. And that one girl hanging on, probably been married, just hanging on. They're looking at you. They're off the streets, brother, and they look. They come in all, about six or seven of them laying down around there, looking at her, and I said, you want to see Jesus, don't you? He starts doing like this. I said, you want to see Jesus today? And I was just watching him, you know. He's doing like that. I said, you can't see him. He's gone to heaven. You know? I said, but he came one time, and you saw him literally in the flesh. Now, you got to get real simple with these people. You can say, I behold the Lord in the glory of his land. You got to get down there to where they understand. He came in a body. And you tell him, he held us up, and you bring him out. You get somebody an example, and they say, now, let's let him be Jesus. Then you, for to make it light, says, he sure ain't too good of an example, but we'll put him up and let him be Jesus. You know. And they'll be looking at him. I said, you can see him. Oh, man. If I just get one word across to you, I've got so much I want to say. If I get that one word before I quit, one word. The word is violence. If I can get to that just some way or another. And so we're talking there, and I said, and they had a couple of preachers in there. I said, but you can't see him now because he died, rose again, went to heaven. And I said, you can't see him now. He's in heaven and he's coming back. And I said, you know what he's going to do? And they'll jump up, you know, he's coming again. He's coming again. You know, they'll get on. I said, that ain't what I'm trying to emphasize, you know. He's coming again. They'll get the preachers getting on it. That old boy just looking and he's listening. And I took this little bitty boy. I put him outside and I got him back there behind. I said, now you hold that Bible in your hand. And I said, now don't you come out till I tell you to. You know, and he was back there behind it. And so I'm going on about his coming, and he's coming, and you want to see Jesus. And I said, you can't because he resurrected, and he's in heaven, but he's coming back and again, you know. I said, but you want to see him today. I said, you want to see Jesus? I'd like to see him. Boy, I just want to see Jesus. And that little boy is sitting over there, and I said, and he starts walking out that Bible in his head. And I sat there and I said, Jesus! That boy's around. He said, hey, you know, they started looking like that, you know. We're looking at that. I said, Jesus! Jesus! You know, he's going. He's better one. They're looking. Here comes that little boy. He's coming out through there with that Bible. I said, oh, there's Jesus! There's Jesus! And I come up to him, brother. And I come up to him and I said, oh, Jesus! Jesus! There's Jesus. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. There he is. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The only way you're going to see Jesus is in the book. Amen. I want to see him get in the Bible. He runs up and down all the pages, man.
Take Jesus home with you.
Amen.
Might be some here tonight wants to take Jesus home with you. Come and receive him by faith. You're a sinner. You're without God. You're going to hell. You need a Savior. He died for your sins. That's the gospel. How did I know that? That's what it says in the book. The Bible says that. That's why they want to get rid of the Bible. And that's why they want to pervert it and twist it. And you get, and you think that all these other things, it's got all the big congregation. I'm telling somebody. I tell her, where's she at? I tell her that God has privileged you to be with some of the best men of God in this country. You talk about King James Bible, men that know the translation and call Bible conference speakers that are better than any of your little stinking seminaries, no more than them doctors ever thought about. He's called Dr. James Jones. But they elevate that thing on television, you think, because he goes to that certain place, say, what school did you go to? I went to the school of hard knocks and knees, that's where I went. I went down, I got in my study and got that Bible down and get the Holy Ghost. Then take all the good books and read all the history. And if you can't figure out who anybody is in the history of the church, ask him. He's nothing but an encyclopedia. You know, he got a mind unbelievable. got there leaving out the door, Brother John. Leaving out that door, here he comes. With all of them with him, you know. He comes up to him and he goes, "Awesome, awesome." I reckon that means amen or something like that, you know. "Awesome, awesome, awesome." "Awesome, you know. Awesome." I didn't tell him anything new. I didn't tell him anything that exhort his stinking mind. I didn't try to elevate his intelligence. I didn't try to bring him up to say he's smarter and you're dumber. It ain't a matter of that elevation. It ain't a matter of that lower grace. Not a matter of where you are, how smart you are, how dumb you are. It's a matter of your soul that's depraved, that's in darkness, without God. There's somebody got to take the light of the Word and shine in to your dark heart and revive you and open you up. It takes power. It takes power. Amen. Quit playing religion. Salvation's a great thing, Brother John. You can't explain it to someone. You got to experience it. Got to experience it. Praise God. It's the way I was when I started. And I've asked God to get me back at 74 years old. I don't think my body can take it. People, I'm very calm the way I used to be. I could jump that pew. I could be on top of that pulpit with my hands. I'd be up on top of that thing before I get to preach. You see, why are you so rocket? The Word of God stirs me with all my heart. Little boys like this one little boy watched me. I'd go into revival. They'd be sitting on the back seat. Before that end of that meeting, they'd be sitting on the second seat. They'd be sitting there just like this. And they'd be sitting there like this. But all I get nowadays, "You sure talk a lot. You're so funny. What are you telling that kid? Why do you keep them around? They think preaching like this is funny now." What's wrong with you people? You never saw a kid come up to the old timers and say he's funny. When they walked into church, those kids knew the man of God had come into the house of God. And he had a red face. Only the Indians. Where's he at? So, what's your face so red for? And it ain't because I'm an Indian. I got that rosea, rosy something. Rosea, rose, what? Rosacea. My sister's name is Rosie. I tell my all the preachers and everybody, I said, "I know why my face gets red, just because of Rosie." I can get around my sister and she can make my face real red. You know, she loves God, bud. She loves God. You know, "Yeah, I know, baby." He said, "You're mama's baby." I said, "I'm also God's man too. You understand, Rosie? You know, you understand that? Hey, you lose that honor, respect within your own people. You got your own kids. I tell my wife, I said, "I'm a preacher before I'm your husband. I'm a preacher before I'm your daddy. I'm a preacher before all that. God has helped me, and you're a preacher before you're all. You ought to be a good father. You ought to be a good brother. You ought to be all that. But God called you to preach. You're a preacher before everything. You're a preacher first. Everything, everybody, everyone is down below. Nothing is above you being a preacher. Nothing. Not a child. Not a wife. You're God's man." Now, what do you treat your wife? You treat her right, according to the Word of God. You treat her like the Word of God says to. But if you're a preacher, buddy, you've lost all that. You've lost all rights to yourself. That's real hard, amen. That's why we got these weak knees, so compromising, sober junk, backing up. What you call people? Call the preachers. That's why we got a condition of our churches like it is. Preachers ain't never had the call of God on them. I told a big missionary brother. I told I talking to him, Dr. Sobel, I won't say his name because he might get mad at me. But anyway, he had his own big mission board. And I talking to him about a situation where he was pastor and everything like that. And I got all tore up about it because they elevated that preacher and he had been in sin and everything else. They had a funeral for him. And he had a history back there that was too dark. Boy, y'all would have seen they put the roses on that old boy. And I called that preacher and I said, sir, I said, what's going on with that preacher down there in that place? If something happened, I do not know, Brother Harvey. That's where you get it from doctors. They talk more eloquent. I said, something went on. You ought to know. I don't know, Brother Harvey. I said, half of those preachers that's going to the mission field don't even have the call of God on them. I said, where did God's call get in him? Where did they agonize in their spirit? Where did they get before God? Where did they crawl before the Lord before they came? I crawled. I cried for years there. And that night, when after old Brother Ed Ballou was preaching, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and he went across that aisle, and he's coming down through there, and all them preachers sitting on front, he said, what do you love more than Jesus? What do you love more than Jesus? I knew him personally. My cousin was assistant director of Rock of Ages when it started. Ed come up, Brother Ed Ballou came up to me, and he looked at me, slobbered. Oh, boy, he had been in trouble with coronavirus, wasn't he? Slobbering up, Donnie. Yes, brother. Now, I was about 33 years old, and I was in excellent shape. I was also a ranger in Vietnam, so I could handle it. And a lot of these young boys packed their pistol around. I said, have you ever used it? You start carrying it, you might have to use it. I need to get right there. Because of violence. The violence in the land right now, anger, that's what's causing you to work around. Ain't it a pitiful sight that you can't even leave your house and have to lock it up? Ain't it a pitiful thing that we come into the church and we got to worry about somebody coming in on us? You know why it's like that? There ain't nobody preaching! Some of you are dead at 4 o'clock. Preachers nowadays are dead, buddy. It ain't pleasant, but this is real. I ain't got long. I'm old, and they ain't going to have babe. Before 22 comes, you just wait and see what happens. 22 is going to be something. It's going to be something. I'm not even going to get the rest of it. I'm going to tell those three verses because I want to get over in Acts chapter 17 and preach Danielle Pattenhall's verse. Her life verse is over in Acts chapter 17. But I'm not going to do that. Because I'd be here all night. I'm going to say one thing that God has spoken to me about to say to you, and it's one word: violence. He said, to no man, what does it say? Read there again. To no, what did I do in my Bible? I lost it. To do violence to no man. And for alliteration's sake, that's anger. Anger. Is it not so? Man, anger. Anger. What's the next one? I'll back up. That's right after it says, do violence to no man. The next is, neither accuse any falsely. I never heard so much of false accusations. False accusations. There was a church, I won't say who it was, that had some false accusations against me. It had to be. Because the pastor called me, not Brother Jones. He's resigned. And you say, Brother Donnie, y'all not exposed. I didn't say nothing about anything until they did that little number. And I told him, Brother John, I said, you're in a fight, pal. Quit playing a game behind the man of God's back. Quit bringing false accusations against the preacher. Quit bringing those accusations when you know they're false and they're not right. And if you bring any kind of accusation against him, bring it before the elders. Bring it before the elder, that Timothy. And then he comes there and they speak to him about this accusation. And if it's not right, if he's telling a lie, then you expose him and you rebuke him. That's church procedure. Violence to no man. I'll come back on it. You wouldn't want me to preach. I got that Acts 17. I couldn't. I got so much there. It'd take me all week and another month to get out of that one. False accusations. Give me that last one. Be content with your wages. Oh, man. Boy, you ought to, every one of you ought to say, oh, me, right? Not, oh, God, help me. Be content with such things as you have. You didn't come in this world anything. You're going to go out with nothing, all right? You ain't going to get anything. What God has given you and what God has given, don't be covetous. Don't be envious. Don't want covetousness is idolatry. Is that what it says? You want what they've got? You want what they got? Can't you just be content with what you got? Can't you just be happy with what you got? Can't you just get a bunch of kids jumping up in your lap and keeping you where you can't hear what I've got to preach? But anyway, that's the way he raised them in the old days. That kid be all over the place. They're trying to shut him down. That boy didn't act right and he didn't sit up right. Mama turned around and say, Pat, look at Donnie back there. Daddy'll be sitting on that front seat. I said, Daddy'll be sitting on that front seat. I said, Daddy'll be sitting on that front seat. I said, Daddy'll be sitting on that front seat. What do you mean, boys, that in the back cutting up? I used to call it cutting up. Back there cutting up. Daddy's all focused in on the preaching. Mama's watching us. Psst, Pat. I mean, the preaching's going on. Psst, Pat. My uncle's the preacher. He started it. And you keep your eye on the daddy when you're in the church. You're keeping your eye because you know you ain't supposed to be doing what you're doing. So you're keeping your eye on him as a boy. You know what I mean? You're keeping your eye on him. He goes. My uncle's the pastor. He stops preaching. I'm in the back. Just a 10 or 12 year old boy. Cutting up. Messing up. You know, just acting up like a boy does. Mean old boys, mean boys, you know. I'm not talking about drugs, dope, and everything else. Just get in everything they ought not to get into. They're always into something. You know, get out of that boy. You know. So I get up. I'm coming down through there. Now, I'm very simple in the preaching. I can get this thing down and give you such the greatest outlines there is in exposition of the scriptures and show you exactly my outline all down through that little thing and impress you about what else goes on in there in the matter of the terminology of the Trinity, the trichotomy of the mind, the emotion and the will, and give you all the little things that transact there in those scriptures. But I just like to get down plain and simple. I just like to get it simple. What you don't know, what your big problem is, you don't want to do what is simply said. In that Bible, amen. Simply said. It ain't complicated to live for God. It's simple. Quit trying to be a theologian. You ought to be good in the Bible. Quit trying to impress everybody how much you know. I don't care what you know. I want to know how much you care. Who cares how much you know? I want to know how much you care. How much you care? I'm preaching toward revival right now, brother. That's what the churches need. You need, as a member of this church, to get concerned about your family. about your community, about that one's going to hell, about your lost relatives, about your lost friends, about all that. If you don't have any concern about your own right around you, quit worrying about the foreign mission. Quit worrying about across the sea. If you can't take care of your Jerusalem, if you can't take care of where you're at, if you don't have a burden for this community, forget about the rest of it. All you can do is stick your money in it. And pacify your conscience. We need, brother, we need again, Brother John, a burden in the people for the building of the church through reaching lost souls in your own environment, your home, and your country. Right here. I can't ever go pastor again because this is what I'd be doing when I start pastoring. I'd get the people stirred up about the lost. And another thing is I'd get them where they wanted to pray for God to be in the church. And then get them on that you ought to have a prayer list in your classes. You ought to have a prayer room in every order. You ought to have a prayer room. You ought to have a prayer in there with names and people that need the Lord. But all you care about is your stinking self. Woo! When you get saved and when you get God in your life, you crucify your flesh, you die to yourself, and you let the Lord raise you up to glorify and honor Him. And that'll be telling people about the Lord, telling them about Jesus, knowing the Word of God. You'll raise up to know about Him. And it won't be no problem for you to come through the door and worship. If being and God's service is a bore to you, get out of it. If it's a bore, get out of it, amen. You ain't nothing but a hindrance. You ain't nothing but a blockage for somebody not see the reality of God in you. That's the truth, brother. Coming to church ain't nothing but a bore. And the only way you can get all stirred up is in politics. Whoa, yeah, boy, you're ready to go in politics. But you're not ready to go in preaching. You're not ready to go to witnessing. God didn't call me to politic. Do you get involved? Yeah, I want to see what's taking place, you know. Do you have any understanding about it? Yeah, I'm going to get an understanding. Because I can perceive what's going on. But God called you to tell the gospel. God saved you to tell others about Jesus. And God saved you to worship Him on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, I hate that old song. You say, what kind of song? I'm just preaching everything. You let me have a good time. I won't ever be back. So let me have a good time today. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. And it takes an hour to get around a Sunday. They get all right, I got saved on Sunday. I said, I like that song. You don't start on Sunday, so I can get up first. You know, come all the way around, you know. And they're having a time, buddy. Those churches used to have a time. They'd get to singing. It was on a day they got saved. Sunday'd be getting up, you know. It was on a. And they'd say, that's really emotional. It definitely is, buddy. And it was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. When does the Lord ever touch your life? You better listen to me. Whenever God touches your life, you'll never forget it. You'll never get away from it. You'll never turn away from it. I hate stinking religion. And I'll wear it out. Because that matter of that person within their form and their mannerism of a deadness in their life. And no life of God. The Word don't stir them. The Word don't cause them. The Word don't raise them up. And if they just take it and throw it out, I can't stand that. And I'm going to preach at it as hard as I can. Amen. Because most of these young preachers, not even touched of God. Never been touched of God. awful bad for me to just throw away all that good study. Sure had a good time studying it. Sure had a real good time doing it. But what did God want to say to you tonight? Beware of the violence that's going to take place. The violence is coming. Because of what? Anger. They're making people mad. Don't you have a hard time from not getting mad yourself? You get angry, buddy. You know, you get angry. You let me get in that book of Acts in chapter 17. If I get into it, we'll stay here another. I'm not going to let you do that. You already got mad at me because we preached an hour this morning, you know. I wanted to preach about old Eutychus over there where Paul was long preaching. That boy fell out of the window, you know, and died. He was long preaching. That's what he said. He was long preaching. And it was the first day of the week. It wasn't the Sabbath day. Yeah. They don't even know. Many don't even know what you mean. You can preach that. Well, that's right. Amen. You don't even know what I'm saying. Now, some of the preachers don't even know what you're saying. They don't even know why they believe in the first day of the week, mid-Sunday, the first day of the week. That's when you come by and lay by in store. It was when you bring your money to the house of God, not send it on your little Texan. Well, if anybody wants to help support this ministry, this is our number. Text it to us and send it to our account. Like that. Blah! Your money belongs in the house of God. Your tithes and your offering belong here to take care of the ministry and the preacher and to send your money out to the missionaries that take the gospel out of the world. And then that's the way it works. And if you don't get back to that, if you don't get to understand that and put your life in the matter of that church, you're not going to get any help from God. Set your house in order. And if you preaching is boring to you, get right with God. That's not saying with meanness. That's saying in rebuke. That's the word over in the Timothy. Rebuke. Get right with God. And if somebody offends you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive. Luke 18, right? Don't like that rebuking, though, do you? I don't either. Laodicea was, as many as I love, I what? Rebuke and chasten. The Laodicea church. They got everything they want. They got their little cars. They got everything they want. They're rich, increase of good, and have need of nothing. And God says, then they say, well, the Lord loves me. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And they're that rich bunch. Why? Because he stands at the door and knocks and wants to come in, and you won't let him come in and worship. He wants to sup with you. He wants to worship with you. You ain't worthy to worship with him, but he wants to come in, but you're a Laodicea. You're rich to increase with good. If I don't get this and I don't get that, and I got to have a car like everybody. I ain't ever bought a car. I don't buy a car. Every car I ever got, the churches give it to me. And it wouldn't last a year. It'd blow up. At the one church, my first church, they said, we ain't getting you a car. You can't keep it a year. It'll be blowing up. Something to tire up. I don't know where I go. It'll blow up. And I said, God, why don't you leave me alone? Let me have something. You know what I mean? Every time I get something, it falls apart. Every time I do it, it'll just blow up and everything else. But what happened is, as soon as that blows up, he gives me another. But I never owned a brand new car until I was lost. When I was lost, I had the new cars, buddy. When I was lost, I had new cars, big homes, finances, end of the day. I lived with the elite. But when I got saved, the old boy said, we had great plans for you, Brother Harvey. We're going to put you in your pot. I used to go to camps or meetings, political meetings with Alexander. Oh, yes. That old boy said, "You messed it everything up, brother." He said, "You messed it all up. We had great plans for you, Harvey. Married, got two children, Vietnam veteran, you know. You only had the college education, all that stuff. We had great plans. You had to mess it up and go preaching." I just grinned at him, brother. Amen. He said, "You'll starve to death." I had a millionaire. He said, "You'll starve to death." I said, "If I do, I won't tell you." Amen. He was a millionaire. He owned the banks. I had a cousin that was on the big bank in town. He was a deacon of the church where Billy Kelly was a member. There's some great men come out of our community, brother. Some great men. Amen. Amen. There's some great men come out of that community up where you're at. Amen. I wouldn't give you a nickel for what we got nowadays. They ain't got no action. Amen. Oh, Paul, man, I'm preaching to preachers. That's what I'm headed out to do, brother. You're the first one. They're going to mess up. They're going to call me and ask me to come. Because I've been nice to them lately. You know, I ain't called them up and talked to them. See, I hadn't called him in about a month or so. You know, I don't know if he was worried about it or what, but he called me and said, "You come up on that date, I'm going to surprise the people." And he really had the right motive and his intention was right because we do have a great relationship. But God's caused that. God's caused all that. So I've been going about 40 minutes, so let's shut up. I want to warn you. Coming in 22, what shall we do in 22? Do no violence to any man. Do not falsely accuse somebody. If you don't know it to be the truth, don't spread it. If they just run that little stinking mouth on yourself or they texting it to you and you don't know it's the truth, do not spread it. Don't falsely accuse somebody. And then be content. Why are you complaining about? Be content. Some of you, I think, are going to starve to death. I don't know if you're going to make it or not. I swear, we need to get you a meal. I mean, man, you're skin and bones and look like you ain't going to make it. Will y'all please we're going to have a pounding for him. You kids don't even know what a pounding is. Do you know what a pound? Let me see. No, you don't, brother. Yours don't know. Yet, you know what a pounding is? The people of the church will bring stuff to the preacher, cakes and bread and canned goods and everything else. They'd have poundings for me at Galahar because I had some poor people. My deacon didn't have enough money to get to church with gas. But boy, he was a good one. He's out too right now, brother, because that stuff took place. He ain't been in church since that happened. You don't have to have a pounding with him. You know, just take something away from him. I don't like all the way y'all treat him. You don't need to treat him that way. I mean, my goodness. He don't deserve it all giving that way they treat you treat him and help him give him everything, you know. I mean, you don't need to do him that way. You can't do him good enough, buddy. You can't do enough to ever to help him or give to him. Never. Dr. James Jones came up there to Herman Baptist Tabernacle after Ed Parton went and took Calvary when Brother the White Horse Preacher, Brother Seton, died. He went to there. And Brother Jones came up, was an engineer out of Florida making big money and everything else. In that little old poor church up there, well, they wasn't really all that, but they had all a bunch of old timers and or just good young Christians, good young family, a bunch of them. They called him up there and he come in and he said, "I promise you one thing. I'll preach you that book and I'll live before you with God."
you couldn't touch him. You wouldn't touch him. Nobody better not say anything about Brother Jones. Because the people would get him. The people, you better leave my preacher alone, you sorry thing running your big mouth against God. You know, don't sit down with them and listen to them. Hey, well, that's no truth. Y'all didn't say that. What the preacher, he ain't guilty. I quit falsely accusing. And they be content. My goodness. A pretty good fiddle, I guarantee you. It cost something, didn't it, son? Pastor Appreciation Day. You know, make the kids learn, don't have him over dinner during the day. You know, what are you having today at your home, pastors? We're going to eat him today. I've been around, brother. Them statements, I've been around, buddy. You bunch of Baptists might be first class, but you're a bunch of mean ones too, buddy. First class, all right, but, you know. She'd bless my heart. She'd given us little details on some of it, wouldn't you, sister? Amen. Violence. What shall we do in 22? Do no violence to any man. Now, war and understanding the wisdom of war, where you're going to get angry and you're going to fight, there ain't no way that you can keep a soldier in a matter of training. And we were talking about it, about training a soldier and about the way they treat you. I was in Fort Polk, Louisiana, in an infantry training AIT going to Vietnam. Now, 19 years old, just a kid. Never knew how to chew, smoke, drink, or do it, cuss. Never did any of that. My daddy was a deacon. You didn't cuss, smoke, drink, or go to work. Right. My goodness, daddy, can't we do nothing? You ain't going there, boy. You ain't going there, son. You didn't say it like that. No, boy. So, and when he said no, he didn't have to raise his voice. No. Say, Mama, go over and ask Daddy if we can go. You can get him to let me go. No, Mama, you know, well, you don't not treat your honey like that. You're not, you know, you don't lead him to do it every once in a while. Why? Woman. And you know what she'd do? She'd kill you over him. He never raised his voice, and he never hit her. And he never did scold her or say anything. He just, woman. And she didn't say, yes, Pat. She just get quiet. But the Bible says she become silent until she got in church, and she'd shout the seats down. When she come to the house of God, she didn't get quiet then. She'd be shouting and going on. She'd be raising her voice, them kids, everybody. I don't know why I talk about the past. I'm worse than Sammy Island. Talk about the past, you know, and the Kalasaki River, you know, and oh, so-and-so and all this. Memories about everything. Yeah. I had to stand up. Randy said, get up and say something for the memory of Sammy Island. And I looked around at a bunch of young people. I said, don't start talking about something until you make it. You don't have no memories. You've got to make memories. That Sammy's got memories that he made. Get your turn to make memories. When you get old, you can talk about it. But you got to make them now, bless God. You ain't going to be able to say anything about what God has done until you do it. Got to make your memories. I just got a lot of memories. I'm old. Got some hard times too. You think it's been good? I've had them, son. I've had them, Lord, help. I've had them call me and say, I'm waiting on you outside the church. Big strong boy. He was announced his call to preach. And he got out in sin. And he used to beat on his mother. He used to beat his mama. And I used to go to him. I said, son, you don't beat your mama like that. You say, what, was you going to have to do something physical? I was hoping I didn't have to, but I was going to tell him he don't not beat his mama like that. And beat your wife that way either, too, big boy. You might gonna hang her up every once in a while. No, that's kidding. I have got it raised by my wife. I mean, I'd be fighting the devil. I did so many, and I was at my first church, and son, that devil to wear my mind out, you know. I mean, we getting going to church, and I'm son, people getting saved, everything, but was in a battle with the devil. I'm in our shaving, was in that big fine home then, you know. And she come in there and say, brother, she said, honey, why did you say this to so-and-so? I turned around, and I'm young in the Lord, and I just took her, and I held her up like that. And I had her up right here. And she said, Donnie. I let her down. I went through there, brother, and I got to my foyer, and I fell on my face. The Holy Ghost said, you grieve me. You grieve me. Now wept over it for a while. Wept over it. He's taking that anger out. He's tempering you. He's learning you how to be angry and sin not. You can be angry but don't sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. You get in a fight with your wife. Don't go to bed on it. I know, Lord, I'm trying my best not to do it. I know, God. You know, I thank you, Brother Harvey. I'm going to try to do it, but that's me, you know. I know. Yeah. Don't go to bed on that fight. Ain't that getting us? That's the way we are. We got to learn how to get our anger under control. And now that's promoting this thing within our politics, you know, it makes you angry. You know, we talk about, son, it makes you angry. You know, and then you can start a revolution or revolt. God is not in a revolution or revolt. What he does, we need some God-fearing men to represent us in our government that have come from a church and come from the house of God that's got God in their life, but we don't have that. We got atheists, we got Islamic, we got everything in the world up there. We got transgenders, sodomites, and everything. We got women in the power when they don't supposed to be. We're trying to put a pistol on their side. We're trying to put them in our armed forces. My goodness, God help us, amen. Get angry about it, but don't sin. Violence is coming in 22. That's not a very pleasant thing to say. What shall we do in 22? Do no violence to no man. Do not falsely accuse someone. Cut that thing off. Do not falsely accuse them. And then be content. Quit murmuring. Be content with your wages. Contentment is great gain. You just see, I don't need to go up, but maybe you'll get them down. What shall we do? Do violence no man. Don't let this anger make you get into a place that you don't need to be. Be wise about it. Be wise about it. And then also discern it according to the scriptures and know it's wrong and know it's not right. And what do? You take your stand. But whether or not you fight in the matter of physical or not, I tell preachers, he said, I know one thing I know for sure. Bearing that pistol nowadays, it's that whether you violate you. You know, they're not going to come through my door, my house, and then they're not going to come through the door of this church either, because there's some men sitting here waiting on them. They're waiting, and that's a terrible thing. Ain't that a terrible thing? That's a terrible thing. Ain't it a terrible thing, men? I know some of you packing a pistol. Ain't it a terrible thing? I'm not trying to,
But it just, and I'm not, so I'd just rather keep it concealed. You know, I just can't stand to see somebody up here taking up an offering with a pistol hanging on their side, you know. You're taking it up, all right, bless God, put something in there, it'll be all over you, buddy. You know, it's just time to pay. We're taking up an offering tonight, you know. We're going to take it up. You know. But there's some men got a pistol on their hip, they ain't wise, and they get angry, and they'll shoot you, and they love to see how big they are, you know. And brother, I'm not trying to be mean, but I sat in the jungle of Vietnam where they sit and kill you. And I was a ranger, and I sat there and watched. I sat there the other night, and the rain coming down and come out. I said, the monsoons were in those days, and I used to sit out there in them bushes waiting to kill that Kong. Don't give me some punk trying to tell me something about death or about war. Don't put your little boy up there because he read too many stories about war. All he ever seen was Sylvester Stallone with his straps around him. And listen, people, don't you elevate that as an icon. Those movie actors, those theaters, we are even taking Hollywood stars and making them presidents. And we already taking these presidents and making them leaders in our country because they're an icon. Yeah. You know, Texas wasn't even a state. I'm of Texas preachers. They wasn't even a state if it wasn't for David Crockett. That's what I tell them. I said, if it wasn't for Tennessee, big boy, you wouldn't even be a state. That's what I tell them. I said, you wouldn't even be a state. And then what in the world? How was David Crockett? Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, greatest land in the land of the free. Killed him a bar when he was only three. But do you know he was a lawyer? He was a lawyer. He had an intelligent, great mind. I wonder who gave him that mind. I believe my God in heaven did, don't you? Who gave him that mind? I believe my God. My God gave him that mind. My God did that. Why? In recognizing you to raise him up under the gospel, under the power of the word of God. That's what it was to run around in those hills. Amen. That was preaching. That was God. That was the Holy Ghost. That was intelligent, smart, young men and women with a great intelligence. Now women, you kids can't even make change nowadays. They can't even count. And they're as nervous as a cat when you talk to them. Yes, yes. Okay, sir. Have a good day. Have a good day now. God bless you. Hurry back, hon, sweetie. I said, my girls will never do that to anybody. That ain't ladylike. Don't talk to a man like that. That's sales promotion. Guess who's running it? Hold on, ladies. Women. Watch out. Every one of them, the CEOs of all the commercial sales of food is women. Do you know what? I got to quit. Oh, Lord, God, I got to quit. They said, you're going to have a good day today. And I said, I'm going to have a great day. They looked at me and I said, love life. First Peter, love life and see good days. First Peter 4, right? Eschew evil and pursue peace. Live peaceably with all men, but eschew evil. Eschew evil. I'm going to have a good day. I'm walking with him, ain't you? I'm going to tell everybody about him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to be able to be content because I eat a biscuit and drink a cup of coffee on the lake and talk about my God in total meditation, and I get medicated there. Amen. Amen. Come by one day. So, are you medicating? I said, probably so. You get that in a minute. I'm meditating. That word of God will medicate your mind. Quit. Do no violence. What shall we do in 22? Do no violence to no man. Don't let this thing get you in the wrong way in your anger. It's coming. It's coming. Can't you sense it yourself? You just start talking, you know. That also burns in me, brother. Do not falsely accuse someone. Take that stinking cell phone and that taxi and tell them with big letters, shut up. And then, why are you moaning about, man? There's a horse and buggy out there. We'll put you on there. You can go back to the Amish if you want to. Why are you a horse and buggy? You can use the convenience that you got. Be content with them. Even be content when your truck won't run. Amen, brother. Amen, Booker. You get it? I went over it 5 times, plus I preached about 20 minutes in each one of them. The key, the very word is when that little boy went by and said, is that your violence? God said, tell them violence. I've told you, and you say you just keep on with it. I told God about 3 or 4 years ago that I'm going to make every moment in my life count. And I'm going to make every message that I say clear as it can be. And then I'm going to make every move in the will of God. Your preacher calling me to come to this meeting, I'm going to make my moves in the will of God. That's what I so with that other, you know what I mean? I said, if you want me to come to your church, call me. I've told that to big men too. Guess what? They ain't ever called me. It offended them. It offends them. Why? Because they know they're playing the compare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about you compare one with another. It's who God commends. It's who God commends. Do you have the commendation of God on your life? Does God commend you? Don't worry about the brethren. Does God commend you? Only way to make me shut up is pray. And I ain't going to call on some woman to pray. I've had one. I did that one time. Old preacher died. That Keena Thicks started. She come in my church. Great lady, great lady. And I was young in the Lord. And I said, Sister Hicks, you pray tonight. I don't know why I did that. Son, she called God down, man. She prayed up a storm, you know. She just went out at it, you know. And I never did feel bad about it even after that. But after I got more in the Lord and studied, son, I never did, you know, after that. What did you do that for? I don't know. I just did it that night. I don't know. There'll be some things your preacher might do. You'll say, what did he do that for? You know? So he don't know sometimes. He don't know. He don't even know himself sometimes, you know. I just feel like God wants you to do that, you know. And the good obedient Christian. Okay, preacher, you know. Let it sound in your mind this week. Do no violence to any man. Don't let that boy get you in the way of violence. Any of you preachers, you fellas. It's not that you don't get angry. You can get angry, but get it under control. You know? All right. I pray and give it to you. Let me pray. Lord, you know, as I waited upon the day to come now, and then the things that took place in other churches in the weeks behind us, and as we watched all the churches and the needs of their lives, and many that are down to more than, less than this and here, God, these people here ought to be praising you for just the ones that they have. We got some young people. He's got 2 or 3 families. Lord, we just come out of
in Brother White's church up in Crossville, and it's all he's got is his family and another one. He's a great preacher, God. And to be in the midst of a great preacher, some of you kids and some of the people here, God has blessed you to give the man of God in your life. You say, well, we've suffered so much. Oh, God. Those that's got the number and got all the money, God, they're in the wrong way. They're liars. They're steals. They're thieves. So we want to praise you and we want to give you glory and honor for the good food that you gave us today and the fellowship with these that they had spout all the things that's coming their way that the churches had got in such a manner. Lord, even our sister calling this place a cult. Amen. God, help us. And then she comes and listens and her husband. Then others, Lord, and then some that's left. Because of the truth of the doctrines and the embracing of what's right. That is also what you call purging the congregation. You purge them. It's not throw them out, run them off, or hit them. Just preach the truth and live right. So thank you for this day that they allowed me to come. And God, I hope and pray that they not let this thing be in a matter of them being long preaching because, God, I don't have long and I just whatever place I might go, I'm not going on a time limit. I'm not worrying about how long it is. I'm going to preach until the lights go out. I'm going to preach to those hard hearts, start turning to God. I'm going to preach to them till they get out of their ways and arise from their deadness. And revival will come to the church if none are saved. Thank you for this good work. Thank you for Brother John. Thank you for what's buried in his heart and the raising that he's had. So what the days may come, Lord, to be all the holiday right now with Christmas and, oh God, all the ungodliness. But don't let it grieve us, oh God. Let us glorify you. Let us worship you. Let us come with our few. We're at home with mine. Come in and honor God this Christmas time and then at the first of the year be ready for the Tet Offensive of 68. The resolving of things. So help us tonight and long about preaching, long about praying. So let this finished day that we have given you all, I have given you all I got, God. And I don't sit still until I lay down. And then may I lay down with thee, give thy beloved sleep and rest. Don't be laboring in vain. But we lay down tonight as we go out the door. And many of these, as I've said, and stand within the way of it, that they would realize and understand that the work of violence is around us as we go out the door. And we're going to be angry, but help us to not sin, but be in the control of God. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.